So this afternoon we're going to be taking a look at what I've named In the Pursuit of Enthusiasm. Sometimes I think of my voice and my even-keel personality. I've been accused of not having too much enthusiasm sometimes. So it's something that I need to work on, and hence, I think a lot of people can work on their enthusiasm. And quite frankly, though, I think it all comes from within. So if you have something to be enthusiastic about, that's going to manifest in how your personality and your actions, your fruit of that. So let's take a look at, first, the enthusiasm of somebody from the Bible, Zacchaeus. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1, it reads, Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, and for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with this man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So you can see how enthusiastic Zacchaeus was in his pursuit to see Jesus. Notice all these action words associated with this story. Sought, ran, climbed, made haste, came down, received him, stood, and said, I give, I restore. This little man was excited, and he wanted to make his life right, and he was going to do it with enthusiasm. Confucius said, Wherever you go, go with all your heart. And that is exactly what Zacchaeus was doing. This is the same attitude that we should have in our lives as we strive to serve God. There are many stories that all of us could share about people we know that have so much zeal that they would suffer and endure through pain to accomplish their goal. We need to ask ourselves the question, have we continued pursuing our spiritual goals even when things are against us, and do we even have spiritual goals? Sometimes we are guilty about being passionate about the wrong things instead of being passionate about good things. A great example of this comes from the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 2. It's the same passage that David read for us, but we'll abbreviate it a little. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who has arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, See, I prepare my dinner, my oxen and a fetted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. And then finally in 5, But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. So this parable is teaching us how these people were invited to God's they were invited to be God's people, but they were more concerned about their own lives, and so they ignored the invitation. This is what happens to us sometimes. We show all kinds of zeal for worldly pursuits, but we don't show any for serving God. We need to have our priorities straight and not be afraid to show our enthusiasm for Christ to others, even if this means cutting out some of the worldly activities we are involved in. Sometimes serving God enthusiastically requires sacrifice. Paul is a great example of this because when he was converted, he had to give up his position as a well-known Pharisee and his comfortable lifestyle to become a preacher for God's word. Notice what he says in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 4, it reads, "If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Even though Paul had a very hard life as a Christian and went hungry and was imprisoned and was beaten and almost stoned to death, in his pursuit of enthusiasm to serve God, he was content and happy with his choice because he knew with confidence that the path he chose would cause him to gain Christ. This is the same attitude that we must have today. Even if the world calls us strange and speaks evil of us, we can't allow that to curb our enthusiasm for serving our Lord. I'd like to read a little, I guess it's a poem, or a saying, I guess is better, about risk and taking risk. trying things. So it's called Risk. "To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose your feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To believe is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. Do nothing. Have nothing. Be nothing. Those who don't risk may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, and live. Only a person who risks is free." And I think that's very true. So this teaches us the concept that you never know what you might be able to accomplish for the Lord if you enthusiastically try and take a risk. One thing that enthusiasm will do is to turn perhaps a dying congregation into a living one. I've seen some congregations that used to be full of life that are now dying and hanging on by a thread. Somewhere down the line, they lost their enthusiasm. Attendance dropped. They stopped giving as they should. The sermons have lost their fire. People stopped evangelizing. The young people left, and old people are slowly dying off. But this does not have to be the case. And some of these same congregations that are dying can turn their situations around. But it's going to have some members that are willing to enthusiastically serve the Lord and make things happen. We need to set a spiritual goal in our personal life and what we would like to see happen in our congregation, and then we must pursue it enthusiastically. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Every great and commanding movement in the annals of the world is a triumph of enthusiasm. Nothing great was ever achieved without it." We can learn from the Bible that an enthusiastic church full of zeal can be contagious and stir up other congregations as well. For instance, notice what Paul says about the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, it reads, "For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Acacia was ready a year ago, and your zeal was stirred up, has stirred up the majority. So if we get on fire for the Lord, we will be too hot for the devil to handle. Enthusiasm also improves leadership. When you have leaders in the church, they're excited about serving the Lord and about growing the church, you're going to have leaders that inspire and encourage its members to be more involved in the working of the church. This will also cause the members to want to do better at inviting people to services, giving more generously, and studying their Bibles. When leaders are full of zeal, they will constantly be looking for ways to grow the Lord's church and to train and direct its members. Also on the flip side, we need members that will encourage and support the leaders of our congregation to help motivate them to have the type of tenacity that they need to push forward and to make things happen. When you have both the leader and the members excited about serving God, then you are going to have a congregation that is growing spiritually and has the potential to grow numerically. Have you ever noticed? Enthusiasm can also improve preaching. And when I say preaching, that's not just somebody up here at the podium. That's all of us. But let's look at just the preaching aspect of it. Have you ever noticed how exciting people are to talk about those things that they are passionate about? Their faces light up, and they tend to talk a little faster. And you can tell that they are enthusiastic about what they are saying. Well, the same thing holds true when it comes to preaching the Word of God. There was a saying that said, "When the heart is on fire, some sparks will fly out of the mouth." And as one older preacher told a younger preacher, "If you cannot put some fire into your sermon, put your sermon into the fire." So friends, if we can't get excited about preaching the Word of God, there has to be some underlying problem, because to have the opportunity to share the words of life to others and to encourage people to follow the way of God should be more than enough to cause us to preach, to be passionate and enthusiastic when he speaks before a congregation or one-on-one. Even when people don't like to hear the truth, it shouldn't stop somebody from giving his best. When he is proclaiming the truth, he should have the attitude that Isaiah had in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it reads, "For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns." Even if everyone seems to ignore the truth, he should preach on as Jeremiah did in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 20, starting in verse 7, it says, "O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart, like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Of course, the same enthusiasm should be found in our Bible classes as well. It won't take long for a child or an adult to figure out if their teacher is passionate about God's word or not. When teachers teach because they think they have to, they will not have the kind of zeal that they should have, perhaps. A teacher must have the attitude that they get to teach, and they should be happy that they get the opportunity to shape the young minds and old ones as well from the Word of God. What a great opportunity. So enthusiasm makes ordinary Christians extraordinary. Charles Schwab said a man can succeed at almost anything for which he has unlimited enthusiasm. History is filled with individuals that remained passionate about achieving their goals, and even though they failed many times, they kept on pushing until eventually they managed to reach their goal. This same thing can happen in our service to God. We can each set a goal for ourselves to achieve for our Lord, and we need to keep at it, even if it seems impossible. When we learn to trust in God and allow Him to help us, we can and will do things that we did not think perhaps was possible. Notice the following verses that teach us that we can accomplish great things in the name of the Lord. Start with Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, 26 says, Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it reads, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And finally, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4:13 reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These verses prove that with God's help, that you can and will achieve great things for God if you only set your mind to doing so and then enthusiastically pursuing them. One thing that is very important for us to understand is that our zeal must be in accordance with God's word, because a misdirected zeal will take you into the wrong direction, and we don't want to do that. Paul knew of some people just like this, and he talks about them in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Enthusiasm also makes extraordinary soul winners. When a Christian is excited about being a Christian, and then they begin to tell a lost person about Jesus, they will be far more effective at gaining the interest of that person than one who shows no enthusiasm or excitement. When you really believe in what you are saying and you show confidence in it, a person is going to want to know more about what you're telling them. This is also true in the world, especially when it comes to sales. The most effective salesperson are those who that believe in what they are saying, and they do it with enthusiasm. When we start thinking about the great love of God and what He has done for us and for everyone, and the hope that we have of spending eternity in heaven, it should fill us with an excitement and should motivate us to share with others about how they can be saved and spend eternity in heaven as well. Apollos is a great example of this. Notice what Paul says about him in Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 24. Acts 18, 24 reads, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Though he knew only the baptism of John, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Just like Apollos, when we become fervent in spirit, it will cause us not to be shy about talking to others about Jesus. So the more enthusiastic we are about talking about Christ, the less hesitant we will be, and we will increase our chances of winning someone's soul. Someone put it this way, the fire of God in your heart will melt the lead in your feet. The Bible makes it clear that every Christian is to do their best at whatever they try. Let's take a look at those. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9:10 reads, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3:23 reads, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. It doesn't matter if you're doing something for God or working for your employer as a Christian. We are to give our best as if we are doing it for God, because we show such enthusiasm in everything we do. We are glorifying God, and others will take notice. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5:16, it reads, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. To further show that we are to be zealous as Christians, when Jesus was rebuking the church of Philadelphia for being lukewarm, he tells them this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, it reads, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." And finally, Paul adds in Galatians 4:18. Galatians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always." Now think about this. If you are not zealous for God or serving Him enthusiastically, then what does that make you? It makes you lukewarm. And that is not a good place to be. So I hope that this lesson has shown how important it is that we continually strive to be in the pursuit of enthusiasm. I have one more quote from Winston Churchill, said, "Success is walking from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm." So, if you are subject to God's invitation, we ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.